Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
So here in Acts chapter 15, and we'll be touching on it more in detail when we get to the chapter several weeks down the road. But here in verse 1 of Acts 15, certain men who came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, now get the setting. These were Jewish believers who came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, like I've said so often, our terminology is, since they were going north, we normally would say they went up to Antioch. But the scripture writes in elevation. And so from Jerusalem, at about 1,400 feet above sea level, down to Antioch, at sea level, it was down. But it was up north. Okay. So they got them up there at Antioch, and they said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, what? You cannot be saved. That's what the book says. See? Now this is 1450, this is 51 A.D. 51 A.D. is when Acts 15 is taking place. That's 33 years after Pentecost. Am I right? 23 years after Pentecost. And these believing Jews are still picking at these Gentiles up there at Antioch. Hey, you can't be saved unless you keep the Mosaic law. You have to be circumcised. Now verse 2. And so when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Now again, what does that mean? Argument. Paul and Barnabas literally had to dig in and say, look, fellas, you're wrong. You cannot put circumcision and legalism on these Gentile believers. But they couldn't settle the question, so they said, well, then you've got to come up to Jerusalem and deal with the wheels up there. Now, when I say the wheels, I'm not saying that with any malice. Who were they? Well, the 12 and the other elders of the believing element that we call the church at Jerusalem. So verse 3, so being brought on their way by the church, that is the congregation at Antioch, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, all their way down from Antioch going to Jerusalem, and they declared the conversion of the Gentiles. See that? Up there at Antioch. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, that is, that believing element of Jews, and of the apostles and elders, that would be Peter, James, and John, and the rest of them. I think James is still... No, James is already beheaded. He's gone. And so they declared all things that God had done with them, that is, amongst the Gentiles. Now, verse 5. But again, even in Jerusalem, there arose up certain of the sect of Pharisees, but not the whited sepulchers that Jesus had to deal with. What kind of Pharisees? Believers. See? They were Pharisees, but they had believed that Jesus was the Christ. They were members of that Jerusalem church. And these Pharisees said that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's what it says. Not just in my Bible, it says it in yours. And this, remember, is 22 years after Pentecost. Time has been going by. Paul has been out amongst the Gentiles now ever since 40 A.D. That's after his 3 years down in the desert. So for 12 years, Paul has been laboring amongst the Gentiles. All right, so verse 6. The apostles and the elders came together to consider the matter. Now verse 7. And when there had been much disputing. Now, I don't know how long this has been going on, but I think several hours. And they just couldn't come to any agreement. The Jewish believers at Jerusalem said, you have to circumcise the Gentiles and command them to keep the law. And Paul and Barnabas said, no way. All right. So after a long amount of disputing, Peter rose up. Now, I don't want to read anything in here that isn't there, but on the other hand, I can envision some things. I think most of this dissension and discussion would have been on their feet, don't you? I think they were just standing there in some large room and having all this discussion. But while all this was going on, I picture Peter kind of off the side, sitting down, maybe even sulking a little bit, because you have to understand that by now Peter has lost his role as the head honcho. He's not even the moderator of this meeting. James, the half-brother of Jesus, is the moderator. And he wasn't even one of the 12. Now, all of this just shows how that Jewish system was slipping and slipping and slipping. But they didn't know it. And you pick this up so graphically in Galatians chapter 2. But whatever. After there had been much disputing, Peter stands up and he takes the floor. And now look what he says. Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, how long ago? From 51 to 38. 23 years? 13. This is the AD 51, and in 38 he went to Cornelius. Yeah. 13 years. Still a pretty good chunk of time. Peter says, you know how that a good while ago, 13 years ago, God made choice among us, that is, among the 12, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. What's he referring to? Cornelius, see? And God who knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did us. Remember last program? Holy Spirit came upon them before they were even baptized, and they were all shook up. All right, this is what Peter's referring to. Verse 9, and put no difference between us as Jews and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts, not by becoming proselytes of Judaism, but how? By faith. See? By faith. Verse 10, now Peter says, therefore, why tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, that is, the Gentile believers up there at Antioch? Why put a yoke upon the neck of those disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? What's he saying? Hey, even Israel couldn't handle the law. The law was severe. It was a yoke. It was bondage. And so Peter says, why try to put something on those Gentiles that even we Jews couldn't comprehend? Now then, verse 11. But Peter says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Verse 12. Now here's the secret to the whole thing. Then, see, after Peter stood up and made his little spiel, then the multitude kept silence. They all shut up, and they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, who declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. All right, now let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and see what Paul says about this situation. Same thing, it's the same event. And here's how you figure out the chronology on some of these things. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, then 14 years after, and he's just been rehearsing his apostleship and how he was commissioned on the road to Damascus, and we've placed that event as AD 37. 14 years after AD 37, what do you get? AD 51. So same event. Alright, so he says, 14 years after, that is after his conversion, I went up by revelation, that is to Jerusalem, and communicated unto them, that is, the Jewish believers at Jerusalem, and I communicated unto them that gospel, see how he identifies it, that gospel which I preach where? Among the Gentiles. See how he's differentiating? But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now you come all the way down to verse 5. He says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. What's he talking about? Well, the same thing that Acts 15 said. There was much disputation, and these Jewish believers were coming down on him. You cannot expect those Gentiles to be saved if they don't keep the law and are circumcised. But Paul said, we didn't give in. We did not back down. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That is, Gentiles such as Galatians. All right, now here's what I'm trying to say. Why really did God send Peter to the house of Cornelius for this event right here? Because, you see, if Peter would not have come to Paul and Barnabas' defense, the rest of those Jews would have simply squashed them, and it would have stopped Christianity in its tracks, and they'd have been no longer able to go to the Gentile world with the gospel of grace. But Paul says, I did not give in. I stood my ground. Now read on. But by subjection, he says, I didn't give in for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you, but of these who seemed to be somewhat. Now, what does he mean by that? Now, that's Holy Spirit inspired. Paul isn't being nitpicky. He's not being a little nasty here. But you see, the Jewish leaders at Jerusalem were not realizing that the whole Jewish program was slipping away from them, and the Gentile program was ascending. Transition. But they didn't realize it. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. They seemed to be somewhat. They thought they were still in control, but they weren't, because it was falling apart. All right? We've looked at this a few weeks ago, and I don't like to repeat things unnecessarily. But he says in verse 6 then, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference. Now, what does that mean? When they really started to compare everything that had been unfolding, all of the Old Testament covenant promises, the revelations of Saul now and his commission to go to the Gentile with the gospel of grace, they put all this together and they compared notes. And especially after Peter remembered that, yes, God would save Gentiles outside of Judaism. And so he says, when we had conference, they added nothing to me. Well, what does he mean? Well, they didn't have the revelations that he had, so they couldn't add. He had more than they did. Verse 7, but contrarywise, see? But on the other hand, when they saw, that is, the Jewish leaders at Jerusalem, Peter and all the rest of them, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that gospel in verse 2, which I preach among the Gentiles, when they saw that that gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the Jew was to Peter, and then verse 8, parenthesis, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the Jew, the same was mighty in me toward whom? The Gentile. How plain that is. And so when Peter and James and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived or understood the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen or the Gentiles, and they would go to the circumcision. Now this is all decided in 51 A.D., 13 years after Peter had gone to Cornelius, and all this time, those Jewish believers at Jerusalem are still maintaining Gentiles can't be saved unless they become proselytes of Judaism. And Paul just stood his ground. And you and I can thank God tonight that we have this tremendous gospel of grace because the Apostle Paul did not give in. And that's where it's all at. All right, now, you get the picture? Now, I have another little analogy that God does something way back in time for something that will come much later. And while we're looking at it, go over to Galatians chapter 4 just a second. Because I think the two tie together. And I've got time to do this. Now in Galatians chapter 4, this same little book, this little letter written to the Gentile churches up in Asia Minor for the purpose of trying to tell them that they're not under the law, they're under grace. Because the Judaizers were following Paul everywhere he went. And they're not going to give up. They're still going to maintain that these Gentiles can't be saved unless they embrace Judaism and keep the law. And so he had to hurriedly write this little letter to the Galatians to admonish them not to give in, because you're not under the law, you're under grace. All right, so you come into chapter 4, and it's one of my favorite studies. If I were ever given an opportunity to just off the cuff give a 30 or 40 minute Bible study, this would be my first choice. And here Paul says in verse 22, it is written, Galatians 4, verse 22, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Now, who were they? Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl, Sarai, his legitimate wife. Hagar had Ishmael, Sarai had Isaac. Now, those are the two boys that he's going to use as an allegory. Verse 23, he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Now, you remember the setting? God didn't tell Abraham to go into Hagar and have a child by her. It was Sarah's idea, not God's. And so he was of the flesh. But you see, God had been promising Isaac for 20-some years. And they had to patiently wait. And even when they were past time for childbearing, either one of them, God miraculously gave them Isaac. All right, now read on. So he was of the bondwoman and was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. God had promised that they were having a child, even though they were 90 and 100. Verse 24. These things are an allegory. They're just a picture. But see, God set it all up. Paul couldn't write this if it hadn't happened. But it did happen. It's an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai with gendereth to bondage, and that's Hagar. Well, now what covenant is the covenant of bondage? Law. See? The Mosaic law, of which Ishmael is the picture. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And that's where I get the idea that Sinai is not over close to Egypt. It's out in Arabia. And this is where I get the idea that that's where Paul went, because he said he went to Arabia. All right, Hagar is Mount Sinai, Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now remember, Paul is writing this before the temple is destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem is going full speed ahead at this point in time. And so he says, Jerusalem, which now is the practicing of the law. But, verse 26, Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Now, what's that? Oh, that's the heavenly situation of which you and I are now citizens. See, we're citizens of the heavenlies, Paul writes. And so, Isaac is a picture of that, grace. And then you come down to verse 28, now we brethren, see, believing Gentiles. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. Well, where do the promises come in? God promised Christ that as a result of his going to that Roman cross and dying and shedding his blood and being raised from the dead, this multitude of believers would be brought in. They were promised him, see, from the very beginning. All right, so now he says, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. And then verse 29 in Galatians 4, but as then, even as it was between Isaac and Ishmael, and you know the circumstances, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. In other words, so it's always been between the believing element and the unbelievers. And then verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. And what do they picture? The law and legalism. Now, let's go back in our minds at least to Genesis. All the way back to Genesis. Do you remember when Hagar was first pregnant? She hadn't even had her child yet. What did she start doing to poor old Sarai? Taunting her, making life miserable. Ha ha! You know, I'm pregnant, you can't be. Until finally poor old Sarah couldn't take it another minute, and she goes to Abraham. She says, get rid of her. Get her out of my sight. I can't stand it. And Abraham did. He sent her away. But see, God intervened. Out there in the desert someplace, God went out to Hagar, and she says, Hagar, you go right back to Sarah's tent. And you just stay there. All right, now what did God know? 13 years later, God would tell Hagar and Ishmael to go right back where he'd brought her from in the first place, out in the desert. Now, why? Well, you see, if they hadn't gone back to Abraham and Sarah's tent, if Ishmael had not been on the scene when Isaac came, Paul would not have the allegory. You got the picture? So we see way back there in Genesis, God set the stage for the two boys, Ishmael and Isaac, to be raised at least for a little bit in proximity and then to be sent apart so that Paul could say, now look, this is exactly what we have to do with the law. We have to treat the law and legalism the same way that Abraham treated Ishmael. And you know, in my classes, I've said it over and over, God didn't tell Abraham and Sarah, well, give Hagar a tent next door. He didn't say, well, why not just give them a little tent out behind or a half mile down the line? But where did he send them? Clear out into the desert, see? What was the purpose? Law and grace won't mix. Law and grace can't mix. You have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And you see, this is what Paul had to contend for then. I think it just about drove him up the wall that he was not going to give in and command his Gentile converts to embrace any kind of legalism. It just won't work. All right, now while you're still in Galatians 4, we do this usually, and I think I did it one of the other classes the other night. In Galatians 4, so then he says, cast out the bondwoman and her son for the son, verse 30, the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we're not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And then go into chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the what? Liberty. And you know, I always qualify that. Liberty is not license. Liberty is not license. That doesn't mean we're free to do as we please. Not at all. But we're free. We are under the full exercise of our free will. And so he says, stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage or legalism in any shape or form. Whenever somebody comes along and says, you have to do that to be a child of God, you just run. Because that is false teaching. And then, verse 2 of Galatians 5. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, that is for salvation, see, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you how much? Nothing. Now that's scary. That tells me that every individual, whether he's a church member, whether he's devout and sincere, and just like Cornelius, he prays and he gives, if he is doing something to fulfill his salvation or put the frosting on the cake, however you want to put it, they're lost as lost can be because the book says so. Christ can profit you nothing. And the only way, beloved, you and I are ever going to get into God's heaven is because of what Christ profits us on our behalf. And so we have to warn people, don't depend on something that you can do. I don't care what it is. In this case, yes, it was circumcision, but it can be anything. It can be church membership. It can be a baptism. It can be anything that you can do in the flesh. And when you do it as part of salvation, then we cancel the work of the cross. And always remember that, that when Christ said it's finished, he meant what he said. Everything that we need was accomplished on that cross.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.